Hey, this is Tyler Main, and you're listening to Don't Go Out There Horror Podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Review Podcast. Just want to thank all our fans and listeners. We really appreciate all support. And we have another awesome interview for you guys. It's a pleasure today to be joined by an actor and producer with over 50 credits to his name over a career that spans 30-plus years, known for his roles in X-Men, Troy, and, of course, Michael Myers himself in Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and 2, Tyler Main. Tyler, it's an honor to have you on the show. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're going to jump right into these questions, brother. Can you talk a little bit about what got you into acting and your transition from wrestler to actor?
Yeah, sure, man. I was a tall, skinny kid with glasses and braces growing up in Canada. And I was slightly dyslexic. So my escape was every Saturday morning I'd watch Stampede Wrestling, which is the Hearts Wrestling. And then after that, I'd watch like all kinds of action movies all weekend long. And then when it came back to Monday, I'd like cry that I had to go back to school. And, I said, I'm going to do that someday. I'm going to be a wrestler, you know, and, everybody kind of laughed and I just, you know, hit the gym and did the martial arts and stuff like that. And, ended up going down to the dungeon with Stu Hart and training for a while. And then, the WWF at the time came into town into Calgary. And that's when I went to Los Angeles and started training in Los Angeles. And then that's when I really got the big bug for the acting. You know, I auditioned for a few things and I was like, wow, this is, you know, I can maybe do this, but being dyslexic kind of hurt a little bit. When I was in Mexico wrestling, have you guys ever seen any of those Mexican wrestling movies?
Yes, sir.
The guys with the mask, that, yeah. Well, they asked me to do one of those. And I said, well, I don't speak Spanish. They said, don't worry about it. We're going to dub it. You know, you're a heel here at the time. We want big bad guy. I was like, okay, sure. What the heck? It's the '80s.
Right.
And I played an intergalactic vampire that shot laser beams through my fingertips and I had a pink fog that followed me everywhere. And don't judge, it was the '80s. And I was like, wow, you know, doing this and not getting dropped on my head is so much easier on the body. So that when I finally did the X-Men, I hung up the wrestling boots for good. That was in 99. And, haven't looked back ever since.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I'll try to look up that Mexican movie if we can.
Oh,
get the
God,
chance.
Don't.
You brought up X-Men. You brought up X-Men. I mean, you've had the opportunity to play a lot of very cool and iconic characters in a lot of different genres. And you brought up X-Men. I first saw you as Sabretooth in 2000's X-Men, which honestly, I mean, that whole thing really started the whole comic book movie craze completely. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and the experience with X-Men?
Yeah, I mean, the X-Men basically revamped the comic book being brought onto the big screen again.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was tagged with Kevin Nash and they were talking to Kevin a little bit about it, but for some reason it didn't work out. And, they were talking to me originally about just doing the stunts. And then the stunt coordinator said, you should look at this guy for Sabretooth. And, I went and met with Brian. It was kind of funny because I went and got fake teeth and all of that stuff. I did my research, you know, I went and got a lot of comic books and was researching Sabretooth and
right.
And, I went out and got some fake teeth, some Polygrip, put it in. And I go walking into this office and there's this young kid sitting on the edge of the couch typing with his head down. I said, I'm here to see Bryan Singer. He didn't even look up. He just kind of put his hand up like just a minute, you know, give me the signal just a minute and kept typing. he must have been working on the script or something, or working on the email, whatever. And when he looked up, he goes, "I'm Brian Singer. Holy shit, you're Sabretooth." You know, and then there was a kind of a glass table in the office. He jumped up on that.
Oh, wow.
And he said, "Choke me." And I choked him and gave kind of like a rah or whatever, you know. And he goes, "Wow, you're Sabretooth," you know. And that's how I got the gig.
Oh, that's really awesome.
You know, and yeah, it's a crazy story. But and it also taught me, don't judge a book by its cover, because I was like, who is this little kid telling me to hold on, you know?
Right.
But yeah, but like you say, I've been very lucky. I, you know, from X-Men, I got King Ajax and Troy and Scorpion King and then even the Halloweens with Rob Zombie.
Yeah, Troy, that movie is one of my personal favorites. I mean, right in front of me right now, I've got a replica of the Sword of Achilles actually hanging on my wall. So, I mean, that thing is such a big and epic blockbuster of a movie. Can you talk a little bit about your experience working on that versus maybe some of the other movies that you've done that are a little bit smaller in scale?
Yeah, I mean, every production and every movie is a different adventure. And I had auditioned, I think, a couple of times for Ajax, mm-hmm. for Wolfgang Peterson. And I went in, and I remember, I think it was in Santa Monica, I went and saw him in person, and auditioned and re-auditioned. And they were looking for Ajax all over the world. And I was like, I'm not going to get this. And finally they came back and gave me the role and said that I was perfect for it. And you know, sometimes it takes a little while to hear back, you know, and have the studio make the decision and say, yeah, we're going this way. But the magnitude of that film was just phenomenal. I mean, we shot for 3 months in Malta, and then we went and shot for 3 months in Cabo, and the big fight scene was between Eric Bana and myself. We trained for about 2 months in Malta.
Wow.
Before we shot it in Cabo, on the beach in Cabo, in front of the gates of Troy, you know. So I mean, it was just huge. Like, you walk into Malta, into those castles that they have, and see the landscaping and the sets, and then to show up in Cabo, and they've got this huge front wall of Troy built on this sandy beach. I'm like, oh my God, this is just insane, you know? And then you have Peter O'Toole, you know, you got Eric Bana, Brad Pitt, all these people, Brian Cox, all of them that are just mega stars in their own right. And just to be able to work with them, it was fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. You brought up the Halloween franchise that you starred in. You have an uncredited role in Devil's Rejects as Rufus Firefly. Is that how you first hooked up and met Rob Zombie? Did that have any impact on you getting the role as Michael Myers 2 years later?
Yeah, it totally did. I had actually auditioned for a different role that I wasn't right for, and I knew I wasn't right for it. And but they wanted to see me, and little did I know that they were going to be replacing Rufus Firefly. So I was like, all right, I got offered the gig, and I was on set for like 4 days and did the opening of the movie Devil's Rejects. And then from that, Rob wrote the Halloween movie with me in mind. And I was up in Canada getting ready to talk to producers about another project, and the phone rang, and it was Rob. And I mean, that's a phone call you pick up, right?
Right. Absolutely.
So he started to explain to me, he goes, yeah, I'm doing this movie, and if you don't do it, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, it's how your character is a product of his environment, and he evolves into a three-dimensional character, and, you know, you're going to be Michael Myers. And I was like, holy, okay. You know, so that's how that came about. It was, I didn't audition for that. It was kind of like he wrote it with me in mind. So that, I was very thankful and grateful for that one.
You know, speaking of Halloween, I mean, I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, but your Myers is much different than what came before and almost Jason-esque, you know, with his physicality. Can you talk a little bit about obviously that role and but mostly like how that portrayal of Myers came to be what we actually saw on screen?
Yeah, I mean, I looked at all the other guys' performances and watched them, and I wanted to, you know, be my own Myers, and of course I'm going to be with my size and differential, you know.
Right.
So I researched a bunch of serial killers to see how they interacted in society and all of this. And, you know, the funny thing is if you look at a Bundy or any of these people, it could be the guy next door and people wouldn't even know.
Right.
You know? And so that was a kind of cool little nuance that I wanted to bring to it. But then I also wanted him to, like, from the beginning in the asylum when I take over for Dag, you know, I wanted the physicality of, like, oh, he's trying to fight to get his life back, you know?
Right.
And then so I'd slouch and all I had was my physicality and my body movements and body language to tell my side of the story. And it seemed to come across, people seemed to like it, that, you know, I was slouching, and then all of a sudden when I get to be Michael Myers again and I put that mask on and I have that knife for the very first time, it's like, boom, it's on. It's time to become that land shark killing machine of Michael Myers. And then I just wanted to kick it up a notch and make him a little more intense than the other ones, you know. And then when we went and did Halloween 2, I said to Rob, I was like, Rob, I just don't want to do the same thing. You know, we got to kick it up a notch. And he goes, yeah, I agree. We got to make this really, you know, more intense. And that's what we did.
Oh, yeah. You know, you brought up, you went into Halloween 2 with a new approach, and you definitely were super aggressive. I just want to ask you another quick question about Halloween 2. What was your favorite kill? I saw on, I believe it was the Dead Meat podcast, his YouTube, you said the Octavia Spencer death. Is that still your favorite death?
Oh, for sure. For sure. that nurse kill was so intense. I mean, I remember when we were shooting it, he's like, just keep stabbing. I'm stabbing like a sandbag.
Right.
Down below the counter. And I was just stabbing it. And I must have counted at least 30 times I stabbed this thing as aggressively as I could. And he goes, and I was exhausted. And he goes, one more, give it one more. And then that's when I just did the and stuck it in. And that gave it that little bit extra aggression that just set it apart for me. You know, it was just, and to this date, I think I'm the only person that plays a serial killer to kill an Oscar winner. So, you know, I'll take that.
Yes, sir. So let's shift gears a little bit. I mean, you're back in the superhero genre playing Black Star in the new Netflix series, Jupiter's Legacy. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That I'm not allowed to talk about, but I am playing Black Star. I think it'll be either coming out later on this year or the beginning of next year. It's the Mark Miller comic book adaptation. So everybody please look for that in the near future.
Yeah. And it also, speaking of other projects, you know, you have a few more on the docket coming up with your company, Main Entertainment. Can you tell us a little bit about your release of Penance Lane and the re-release of Compound Fracture?
Yeah. You know, I started my production company quite a few years ago, and we originally released Compound Fracture was our first film, but it got cut up in our sub-distributor went bankrupt, and it was Alchemy that went bankrupt, and they had Sony Pictures in there, Marigold, a bunch of top studios were filtering through them. So we're kind of like the small guy caught up in this bankruptcy hearing. And it's been 5 years, I think, and it's still going on, but we got the rights back to our Compound Fracture. But so to go back to the first one, Penance Lane, on April 21st, we released Penance Lane. It is with myself, Booker T, Dallas Page is in it, awesome. John Schneider's in it, Dan Roebuck's in it, Scout Taylor Compton is in it. That's our fourth film that Scout and I have done together.
Oh, wow.
That was released on April 21st. So please check it out on all platforms. It's called Penance Lane. And then we just re-released about a week ago, week and a half ago, Compound Fracture with the original artwork and some new things on that, and re-released it. So if people haven't seen it, please check it out. It's a great time in these times of quarantining and social distancing. So if people are looking for something to check out, please check out either one of those two or both of those films.
Yeah, I was going to ask, speaking of quarantine, I mean, how much were any of your productions affected by this COVID shutting down production?
Well, I was up for some other things that were supposed to have taken place that have been put on hold, and I think one of them is probably not even going to go. But it's just right now in the phase of waiting to see what's going to happen. People are trying to gear back up and get going, but you know, you've got to listen to the CDC and deal with reopening our business, especially when you have such large crews and everything together properly to make sure that everyone is safe. But it's given me this quarantine time has actually given me with Main Entertainment, my own production company, time. We're in the process of developing a TV series right now called The Last Spartan.
Okay.
And we're hoping to be filming either beginning of this, end of this year, beginning of the next year. And that is kind of like, it's going to be a mix of The Punisher meets Sons of Anarchy meets Human Trafficking.
Oh, wow. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty intense. It's going to be a hell of a ride, so to speak.
Oh, nice. So I want to ask you a fun question now. We started asking this when we had the great Lisa Wilcox on the show, but I know you do a lot of conventions, whether it be comic or horror related. What's the weirdest experience, or what's the weirdest thing or strangest moment, fan request from you that you've ever encountered at a convention?
Oh, yeah. I would have to say I had a guy come up to me. He was eating an apple. And he gets done with it, and he hands me the apple core, and he says, "Hey, can you sign this for me?"
Oh, what? I'm like,
how am I going to sign your apple core? I mean, it's not going to work. He goes, "Oh, I just thought, you know, from your Joe Dirt character." And I'm like, "Oh, shit." You know, did you guys see the Joe Dirt that I did?
Yes, yes, I love Joe Dirt.
Yeah, I'm done with that apple core. You're going to have that. So that was probably that was kind of the weirdest one. But, you know, I mean, you're always, you know, I'll have people come up to me, women will say, you know, sign my breast or whatever, my ass cheek. And they go out and get it tattooed. I'm like, it's kind of weird to have your name tattooed on somebody's butt or boob for the rest of their life. You know, it's kind of surreal, you know, to think that anybody would want it. But, yeah.
So,
there's a lot of weird things.
Tyler, know this. So you're the guy who broke Joe Dirt. Luckily, my neck broke my fall. That was you?
Yeah, Bondi.
Holy. Dude, Bondi. I love Joe Dirt. I did not know that. I just learned something new today. That's awesome.
Yeah, there luckily, you go. Yeah,
luckily my neck broke like my that. Fall.
I'm the only guy probably in the history that can pee on a fire and actually burst into flames. I mean, that's the toxic piss I had there, right? I must have been drinking a lot of Jack Daniels or something before that.
Absolutely.
But
so anyway, before we get out of here, is there anything else you'd like to kind of tell our audience about or promote? I mean, I know people can go to tylermaine.com or maineentertainment.com and purchase some of your memorabilia. Is there anything else out there that they can, are you on Cameo or anything like that?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I do the Cameo on that, but I'm also on Instagram. I'm the real Tyler Maine.
Okay.
You know, on Twitter, I'm Tyler Maine, and just, you know, click on there and follow along for this crazy ride.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think I'm going to go watch Joe Dirt again now.
There you go. Yeah, and if you can check out what I'm doing on IMDb, That has all the things that are coming up.
Oh, yeah, and like you said earlier, right now it's COVID season. You got plenty of time to watch Penance Lane or Compound Fracture. No excuses right now. Tyler, I just want to thank you again so much for joining us. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the show, man. We really appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks for having me. Talk to you guys later.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Stay safe. Wear your masks.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, will do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And I just want to remind everybody to don't go out there. We'll be right back.